Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Gene Leslie, pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. The title of his message is The Bible, the Word of God. The text is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25.
Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. It has been a privilege for me to be here with you for these two services, and I trust they were a blessing. Let's read God's Word. 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of standing in this pulpit and proclaiming the Word of God. I pray that you'd bless everyone present here in this auditorium today. And touch this preacher and help me. Give me liberty. And may Jesus be glorified. In His name we pray. Amen. And amen. I've been saved for about 57 years and have been preaching for almost 50 years. And I wanted to preach to you these 2 days on some things that have been dearest to me in my Christian life and in my ministry. I spoke yesterday on prayer. I said, you can make it in the future if you'll just learn to pray and seek help from above. And prayer will see you through. I have an evangelist friend who's he's in heaven this morning, and he told me one time, he said, my mother said, son, if you ever get in trouble and don't know where to turn, she told her son, just breathe that holy name in prayer. So we need to learn to breathe that holy name in prayer. And today, I want to speak to you on the Word of God. I just don't see how that I could have made it these many years without this precious old book. I thank God for His Word this morning. A year or two after I was saved, my Sunday school teacher over in Southeast Tennessee challenged all of her class members of the youth class to read the Bible through in a year. She said, if you'll read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, you will finish it in less than a year. I don't know how many others in that youth group did that. But I accepted the challenge. And I read the Bible through as a young teen. I was about 15, maybe 16. And I've done so every year for over 50 years. And when I get to heaven, one of the first people I want to see, after I see Jesus, His mother is dear to me, I want to see my Sunday school teacher, Miss Lovelady. And I want to thank her for influencing me to read God's Word every day of my life. I started out on every year down through the years, January the 1st in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. All year long reading the Word of God, coming to December the 31st and closing out the book of Revelation with Jesus saying, surely I come quickly. And John said from his heart, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, I probably wouldn't be standing here this morning behind this pulpit if I hadn't have started that practice of reading the Bible through each year of my life. And this has been many, many years. And it'll be well worth my trip over the mountains here to Greenville and Bob Jones University if I could just get one, at least one or more, of you to start the lifelong practice of reading the Bible through each year. And you ought to do that. Many of you ought to do that. And young people, you won't be worth shooting at sunrise spiritually unless you read God's Word every day. And you preacher boys, you ought to read the Bible every day. It'd be a good idea to read it through every year. But you, if you're going to make it out in the ministry, you ought to immerse yourself every day in the Word of God. And when you who are going to the mission field, you can make it on the mission field if you learn to pray and immerse yourself every day in the Word of God. And it'll keep you straight if you'll get in the Word of God every day, and it'll bring the blessing of God down on your life. And you need that. I need it. You need it. I gave up football during my junior year in college down in southern Mississippi. I'm starting left guard on the team at Southern Mississippi, played in the Sun Bowl. After I got on my knees and surrendered to preach, I'd been calling, feeling the call for about 4 years, and finally I surrendered to preach the gospel. And I left, played in the Sun Bowl on January 1st, 1953. And that fall, that spring, I surrendered to preach after 4 long years. I was so bashful and shy, hated to get up in front of a crowd. If the Lord had revealed to me that I'd had to preach in front of a crowd like this morning, I believe I'd still be running. But I surrendered to preach. Came over here, gave up full scholarship and spending money. Came over here, and my dad had already gone on to glory. We didn't have hardly any money in the family. I had to get a work loan scholarship. Played in Sun Bowl on January the 1st. And came over here and cleaning restrooms and offices during the week and working on at Penny selling shoes on the weekend. You say, preacher, would you consider that a great sacrifice? No. There's no sacrifice that we can make to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And that's been almost 50 years ago. Here it is now. I'm 70 years old, still preaching the Word of God, and God still used me. Last Sunday, I preached on the old-time religion at our church. Some of our kids were there. And God blessed. And some people came to the altar. One young lady, a librarian in one of the colleges there in the area, came forward and said, I made a profession when I was 4, and I don't believe I got saved, and I want to get saved. And she got saved in our altar this past Sunday morning. So I thank the Lord. Listen, if you'll stay in the Word, preach His Word, preachers, missionaries, He'll bless you the rest of your days on this earth. And you others who go into other professions also. Now, that was a little long introduction. I've still got enough time to preach here. But that was my sermonette before the sermon. You know, a preacher needs a little time to build up his nerve when he gets up in the pulpit. So he won't be afraid of the crowd and won't be afraid of the devil. And I want us to see 4 things this morning from the passage I read to you in 1 Peter about the Word of God. And I want to offer them to you for your consideration. In these verses, I see a divine person, a divine perfection, a divine preservation, and a divine power. First of all, a divine person. Notice again verse 23 and the first line of 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25, the first line. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. So the Apostle Peter says the author of our Bible this morning is none other than the Lord God of heaven. Young people, this book is His Word. And never, never forget it. The Bible is not the work of man. It is the work of God. It is God's Word. And throughout history, there have been men who were mighty men of God. They knew how to get the job done for God. Every movement has a force behind it that birthed it and gave direction to the movement. I heard this over the radio, sort of humorous here, a few years ago. I was listening to a late-night radio program and over a powerful station. And this preacher said, send me $25 and I'll send you the picture of the headquarters of our movement. And he upped the ante and said, send me $50 and I'll send you a picture of the folks who work in the movement. He said, send me $75. And he said, I'll send you a picture of the founder of this movement. Then he said, if you'll send me $100, I'll send you the whole movement. And so, but jump back seriously now. George Washington was certainly the moving force in the founding of our country. He led our ragtag revolutionary army to victory over the powerful British army. He was our first president, and that's why he's called the founding father of our country. Martin Luther was the founder, the father of the Protestant Reformation. When he nailed his 95 theses to the church door at Wittenberg and stood before the ecclesiastical council and said, here I stand, he gave birth to the greatest movement in church history since the first century. Every great school across the nation has had a moving force behind its foundation success. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was a mighty force the Lord used to found Bob Jones University. But I want you to understand this morning, there is a mighty moving force behind the existence of the Word of God, our Bible. And the moving force was not Moses. It was not David. It was not Isaiah. It was not Paul. It was not Peter. It was not John. The moving force behind this precious old book that I have in my hand this morning is Almighty God. And that is why Peter, here in verse 23, calls it the Word of God. And after Peter called it the Word of God, he said, it liveth. It liveth. It is not a dead book. The Word of God is alive. And when the Word of God is preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, it comes alive with the presence of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means God breathed. So the breath of God, I said this one time many years ago when I reached up and blew into this microphone here. And it's like a bomb going off in this auditorium. So you in the sound room, you appreciate me not doing it this time. But the breath of God is on His Word. Many times over the years, as I'd read this precious old book every day, day after day, sometimes I would realize before I would know it, that I was in the very presence of God in the pages of the Word of God. You say, preacher, do you feel God's presence every time you read the Word of God? No, nobody else does. But I read it every day because it's food for my soul. I'd like biscuits and gravy and pie and ice cream and fried chicken and things like that all the time, but it's not good for me. I need some salads and other things like that. And so, every now and then, I feel the presence of God when I read His precious Word. So in the Word of God, we have a book with a dew of heaven on its pages. It's throbbing and pulsating with the presence of its author, the Lord God Jehovah. Then a second thing I see in our text about God's Word is divine perfection. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. And on the front of my Bible here and on yours, it says, Holy Bible. And this book would not be holy unless it's pure. And God's Word is pure. Verse 23 here in 1 Peter 1 says, the Word of our God is incorruptible. That means it is not capable of being corrupted. It means the Word of our God is free from decay and from error. All Bible believers believe in the doctrine of inerrancy. This simply means that we believe the Word of God is perfect and free from error or contradiction. Now listen to me right here. You don't have to have a string of academic degrees a mile long or be a graduate of a Bible college or a seminary to believe the Word of God is perfect and inerrant. My old daddy, been dead 49 years, died in a car accident, mind cold all of his life, moved on over to glory, only had a 7th grade education, but he believed the Bible was a perfect book. And my dear old mama died recently a few days ago before her 98th birthday. She had only a sixth grade education, but she taught me as a boy at home on Ducktown Road in Soddy, Tennessee, that the Bible was inspired of God and without error. She couldn't even spell inerrancy. She didn't know what it meant, but she believed it. Because this thing's a heart matter. Listen, young people, don't let some educated, unregenerate get you to doubting God's Word. Let me stop and just give you a little bit of my philosophy right here. My philosophy about the Word of God. I believe everything in the book that I understand. I believe it. And then also, I believe everything in the book I don't understand. I believe it where I understand it or not. Listen, if you'll take that philosophy, it'll help you down the path. It'll help you. All of God's people need to realize that the inerrancy of the Bible doesn't depend on the Greek and Hebrew scholars in our theological seminaries, nor does it depend on the preachers in our pulpits. The inerrancy of the Bible depends on the character of Almighty God Himself, the God who wrote it. This, young people, is God's book. It's God's book. And if you believe that God is truth, and He is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth personified. God is truth. And if you believe He is the truth, and if you believe He is the unchanging God, if you believe He is not capable of error, then if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, you logically can conclude that the Bible has the same character as its author, the Lord God of heaven. Now, young people, it's that, just that simple. If this book is God's Word, then the good name of our God is at stake if it's not true. Don't turn your Bibles. Let me just turn to a verse, Psalm 138, the latter part of verse 2. For Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a liar. You're not supposed to hate anybody, but I come close to hating a liar. Young people, I don't have time to get off on this. Always tell the truth. If a hole opens up and swallows you, tell the truth. And God's Word is as good as God is Himself, and how dare anyone to doubt the Word of God? And these liberals and many new evangelicals say, well, God is inerrant in the words He spoke, but the men who wrote down the words were not. So you have to make a little room for error, you know. Well, let me say this. How much do you think the room for error was when God spoke through Balaam's donkey? Old Dr. B.R. Lakin, you see, that's not the only time God spoke through a donkey. He's been speaking through a lot of donkeys ever since. But I believe when God spoke through that donkey, it was without error. Now, how much room for error was there when God spoke through a burning bush on the backside of a desert? I believe every word that God spoke was true when He spoke through a bush. And then I believe God spoke again to America day before yesterday through another bush, don't you? Somebody say amen right there. Some scholars say that the Bible is inerrant as long as it speaks about salvation and spiritual matters. But when it speaks of science and history, it is no longer inerrant. I just have one word of reaction to that. Hogwash. This hillbilly preacher finds it illogical and sort of dumb that these learned men would hold such ideas as that. Don't you think the God who created the universe and placed the gold in the hills of California and Alaska, and the God who put the oil in the subterranean caverns of the Middle East, and the God who placed the veins of coal in the mountains of Tennessee and Kentucky and West Virginia, the God who cut the rivers out of the rocks, doesn't it seem reasonable to you that this same God would not be able to place in His Word facts about geology and geography that were totally free from error or contradiction. Why, sure, it's reasonable if you have faith in a holy God. Then doesn't it seem odd that the very God who created time could not speak to us in His Word about the events of history and not be absolutely correct? God is not going to get mixed up on dates and places. Our God doesn't have senior moments, and neither does He have loss of memory. And these men in our pulpits and theological seminaries across this country who do not believe an inspired Bible that is perfect and free from error have a far greater problem. Their problem is with a sovereign God who sits on the throne of this universe. I believe there is a God. I trust Him. And you know what that does for me? And it'll do the same thing for you. It'll clear a lot of cobwebs, spiritual cobwebs, out of your heart and mind and soul if you just believe there is a God in heaven. Now take God out of the equation. We don't have a perfect book. But brother, when you put God in the mix, and He is well able to give us a perfect Bible. And I believe that's exactly what God did. And furthermore, I believe that's what God teaches in His Word that He has done. Daniel 4:35 reminds us, He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Proverbs 21, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, and He turneth it whithersoever He will. He drove proud Nebuchadnezzar from the throne of mighty Babylon, and He made him get down on his knees. God made the mighty Nebuchadnezzar get down on his knees and eat grass like an oxen for 7 years until Nebuchadnezzar declared, there is a God in heaven who rules in the affairs of men. That's exactly who God is. God can and did breathe His Holy Spirit on holy men of old and move them along until what they had written down was God's perfect Word and free from error or contradiction. Never forget this. An inspired, inerrant, divinely preserved Bible does not depend on puny man, but Almighty God. Now let's look at better find out how much time I have. Well, the third thing, a divine preservation, I want you to see. And there's a contrast in these verses between the feeble, frail, fleeting existence of man and the constant continuance of the Word of God. Here in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And man at the peak of his power and pride is like the flower of grass. I don't have time to go into this too much, but the Word of God likens man to grass out there in the field and has a flower coming up, and then it fades away. Peter's saying the flower is more fragile than the stem that it bears. It springs up later and dies before the stem. That sort of brings us down a notch or two, doesn't it? God's Word says man is as grass and the flower of grass. But let me just say this. In the midst of all the changes we see in life, all around us, this morning, I want you to see there is something that you can set your bearings on and hook your anchor to, and it will give you a stability, not only for time, but for all eternity. 1 Peter 1:23 says, the Word of God abideth forever. That means the Word of God will remain stable and will continue in a fixed state. Abide means to sojourn. So the Word of our God will sojourn, and it'll hang around forever. Now, look around you this morning in all this auditorium. Just look around. Everything you see in this auditorium will be destroyed. It'll go up in fervent heat someday, except two things. First of all, down in the soul, of everyone seated in this auditorium. There's an internal part of you called the soul, and you will never die. Your soul will live on and on and on forever. And there is a second thing that's indestructible, that'll never be destroyed, and that is this book I have in my hand. The Apostle Peter assures us in verse 25, the word of our Lord endureth forever. Thank God for that. Now let me give you one other thing in this passage. A divine power. Look again at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus said in John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let me ask this question. How does a man get born again? By what power does a man get born again? The Apostle Peter tells us exactly in verse 23, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Just receive God's word into your heart. Mix it with faith. Believe it. And the Holy Spirit will miraculously birth you into the family of God. Then notice that last sentence of verse 25. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Here Peter equates the Bible with the gospel, and they are the same. You cannot separate God's word, the Bible, and the gospel story. The Bible is not given to us, young people, as a textbook. Its contents were not sent down from heaven to man for theological debate. The main purpose of the Word of God is to provide a plan of redemption for sinful man through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is designed to be the instrument of the Holy Spirit in regenerating and giving life to men whose souls are dead in trespasses and sin. Well, let me just tell you this, and I'll be through. Just give you a word about my testimony. The Lord saved me when I was 13 years old. I went to a revival. Our Boy Scout troop did, and I had a Boy Scout outfit on. And I thought everybody was looking at me as I walked down the aisle, and we sat over on this side of the church. And I don't believe the Lord had ever spoken to my heart before in my life. But that night, in that revival, God showed up. God was in that service. And the evangelist couldn't be there that night. And the pastor, Brother Sis, took the Word of God and preached the gospel. And then during the invitation, the pastor said, everybody that's been praying for somebody, go stand by them. Here came 6 or 8 or 10 people over and stood right by me, and their head bowed, and they were weeping. And I wanted a trap door to open up and take me downstairs, get me out of there. But my mother was seated right over here. And I thought, long as she sits over there, I'll be okay. But my mother finally got up and started over. And I went forward and knelt at a mourner's bench. And old brother Groomer Jett put his arm around me and said, Gene, will you trust Christ? And there that night on my knees, I said yes to Jesus Christ, and I passed from death unto life. I became a child of God. I walked into that church in spiritual darkness and walked out in the light. Thank God I've been walking in the light for over a half a century. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible is designed to do. Its main purpose is to point you to Jesus and salvation and heaven. And that's why for 50 years I have preached this old book. You can't get saved without the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God is good enough to live by, and I'll guarantee you it'll be good enough to die by. One day out in the future, you're going to go out into worlds unknown. And brother, this old book's good enough to die by. Believe it. Love it, read it, live by it. This old book will be a sure road map to take you from earth to glory. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you with this privilege of trying to lift up the God of the Word and the Word of God this morning. May every one of these young people always have confidence that the Bible is the very living Word of God. May they read it, study it, and live by it. And Lord, use it in a great way in their future, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Gene Leslie, pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.